Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. We have Christian Horsdahl talking about lightweight approach to building web APIs with .NET. Christian, would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Let me just get started here. Yes, as you said, this is about a lightweight approach to building web-based APIs with .NET. So yeah, I'll get to the who am I point in just a bit. So let's just, but I'll just do a quick rundown of the agenda for this talk. So a bit about who I am in just a short bit. A bit about what lightweight really is and what I mean by that in the title. An introduction to the sample that is sort of the basis for this talk. A little bit about REST, only a little bit. REST can be a huge discussion. I'm not going into that. And then a good deal about the Nancy Web Framework. So, who am I? I am employed at a consultancy called Milner Informatics, which is situated in Denmark, where I'm also at right now. I'm from Denmark, I'm a Dane. I am a husband and a father of three, just a bit of background information on me. And I'm someone who enjoys a few things that has to do with code as well. I like code, really. I like clean code, especially. I like code that I'm able to test and even test drive. So that will also influence the choices that I like about frameworks and the approaches that I like. So you will probably see that shining through in what I'm going to say over the next hour or so. That I do like readable code, and I like code that I'm able to test fairly easily. I also like it when my home soccer team wins, but then again, who doesn't? I like simplicity, especially in connection with software. There's a beauty in simplicity, and I think also it's important. We're in a field where there's plenty of complexity. There's the inherent complexity of the problems we're solving, and well, software just is really complex. So we don't want the technology choices that we make to add extra complexity. We want them to add some simplicity, or at least enable us to keep some of the simplicity that might be there. And lastly, since it's closing in on midnight my time, I think it's appropriate to say that I also enjoy the occasional single malt. So that's just a quick bit of background on who I am. Let's get to the actual content. So, what is lightweight? Well, in this context, lightweight is really about not having too much ceremony, not having too much cruft in the code, not have too much sort of going on that's only about the framework or the technology. So that goes in the context of the talk very much for Nancy. And Nancy tries to reduce the amount of ceremony needed, and doesn't want you to introduce extra cruft. And also goes for the quote unquote REST approach that I'm that we're using in the sample that I'm showing, and that is also the basis for this talk. It just doesn't have to be harder than it is, really. And also, what is lightweight? It's not that conventions and lightweight are equal things and one gives you the other or anything like that, but at least some decent conventions and some sensible defaults can really get you a long way in keeping things lightweight. But if you just rely on some conventions and are okay with that, then you can get away with writing less code and really being more lightweight in a lot of ways. That goes, I guess, or not I guess, like that goes for the HTTP part, the API part here. If you actually follow the intention of HTTP, it's just going to be a bit easier to design a proper web-based API that is usable for the people and that you don't have to explain too much to them. But it also goes for the code. If you have some reasonable defaults and follow them and have some reasonable conventions follow them, it's probably going to be easier to not have more code than you need. What is lightweight? In another layer, a less technology-focused layer, things that are lightweight include things that are open, which enable us to be agile. And, well, it enables us to do things inexpensively. So, again, it's not that these three things are equal to the term lightweight, but it's also things that characterize what I mean by lightweight here. That lightweight gives us some agility and gives us a reasonable speed of development, which basically comes down to money, which means that it's going to be, if not inexpensive, then maybe less expensive than a heavier solution, I hope. So, at the core of the talk today is a sample called RESTBox. I'm going to use that as sort of the framework to talk about the concepts I want to talk about and to show off the technology that I do want to talk about here. So, RESTBox is the running example in the book that I have a picture of here, REST in Practice, which is a nice introduction to what REST is. Definitely recommend reading that book if you want to get more into REST. RESTBox is a pretty simple sample. RESTBox is a sample that at least, it does cover some more in the book, but for today it will cover sort of three user stories. The first one being that since RESTBox is a coffee shop, an online coffee shop, if that makes sense, as a customer, I want to order a coffee such that RESTBox can process my order. So I just want to be able to place an order for some coffee with the RESTBox store. Also, as a customer, I want to be able to cancel my order so that such that RESTBox forgets about it. So I want to be able to create an order and want to be able to delete it again or cancel it again. And thirdly, I want to be able to pay my bill so that I can receive my drink. And these are sort of the user stories that we're going to go through today during this talk and looking at the code also. More specifics of the implementation of the RESTBox sample that we're going to look at today, it's based on the RESTBox on .NET implementation of RESTBox, which was based on an early version of Web API. I ported that over to Nancy to sort of have a look at how that would look and if I thought that would be better or anything. And as it turns out, I sort of like that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's all available on GitHub, and this is the front page that you'll get if you download the sample and go to it. But, well, this being a RESTful API, there's not a whole lot of UI to it, but there's just a bit of self-documentation of how to use the API, which is not something that I wrote, which is just something that I took from the sample that I ported over. So, a little bit about REST, and as I said, I'm not going to go deeply into REST. That's a huge topic and a, to some extent, religious one, and I'm not going into that discussion too much. But just a little bit anyway. And I want to talk a little bit about Richard's maturity model. So this is an attempt to talk about maturity of REST APIs. So at the bottom level there, level 0 is plain old XML RPC style. So that's really just doing remote procedure calls over HTTP. It's not really leveraging anything that HTTP offers in and of itself. It's just throwing some XML over posts on HTTP and letting and interpreting that as procedure calls and then just encoding everything in your XML. And this is not REST. This is just doing something over HTTP. And the next level is starting to look at resources. So in REST, there should be a resource at every URI, and if you hit the same URI, it's the same resource. Now a resource can be at more than one URI, but if it's the same URI that you hit, it's the same resource. Next level, level two, is not only having the resources and having the resources at your eyes, but also starting to take the HTTP VoIPs seriously. So that's about respecting the semantics of GET and POST and DELETE and so on and so forth. And at the top level there is the hypermedia tenant, which is about things like having your resources linked to each other and having defined semantics of those links so that they become self-explanatory to a certain point, and such that a client of the API doesn't have to know magic URIs deep down in your API, but just the root API, and then they can just link themselves all the way through. That's how the web works, obviously. Now, where you want to be on this maturity level, on this staircase, is, well, entirely up to you, obviously. But also, in my opinion, it's very much it's very much a pragmatic question, and you have to look at your concrete situation. So what I'm talking about here today is something that will cover up to a bit above level 2. The sample doesn't go all the way up to full hypermedia tenant, I'd say, but it does have resources and it embraces the verbs. It does a bit of linking between the resources as well, so there's some of level 3. Where you want to be in a specific project is, well, depending on the needs of the project. But the point of the talk today is not so much where we want to be in the REST scale, I say. It's more that Nancy provides us some really nice ways of dealing with resources and the verbs and so on and so forth, so that we can get to the level where we want to be. Right, so as I said, at the heart of REST is resources. They are the basic building blocks of our web API, and a resource is anything that has a URI. And at the bottom here, we see four examples of such URIs in the RESTBox sample. So we have a menu URI slash menu. That will return the menu where you can see espresso, latte, so on and so forth. Whatever you can order in your local RESTBox online coffee shop. There's an orders resource that you can post to in order to create an order. So that's where you go to place your order. There's an order singular slash 42 order. That's the order with the order ID 42. And there is an order slash 42 slash payment, and that's where you can go to manipulate the payment of this particular order, the order with the ID 42. So those are some of the things that you have to deal with in this coffee shop, and they have URIs. Now, also representations turn out to be something that you probably want to think about in your web API. Whether you want to be really, really restful or not, I think you still sort of want to know what you're returning to your clients if you're doing a web-based API. So if we look at an example from the RESTBox sample here, if we say that we go to restbox.com/order/blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, whatever ID of an order, and we also put in an accept header here that says that the client would prefer to get back application slash vendor-specific RESTBox XML, then we might return this. And it's just an XML representation of the order. So the order consists of a few items. It consists of a latte, one of those with skim milk, and it's large, and you know there might be more. The resource extends below here, the resource representation extends below here, and there's a price for the for that cup of coffee. It's 7.6. We don't know really which currency. It doesn't really matter in this sense as well. And also there are a few links to what you can also do. You see there's a link to the payment part here, and there's the relation here that at the end of the URI that extends to the right here will be will indicate a specific definition of what it is you can do at that URI. So that's moving at least towards the hypermedia tenant there. We're not going to talk too much about that though today. Right, also with representations, we have here the exact same resource. We're making a get to the same resource. This time we're giving it another accept header. This time we're asking for restbox JSON. And it's really the same thing going on here. It's just serialized to JSON instead of serialized to XML. So we see these are two different representations of the same resource, of the same data. And it's really nice for the client to just be able to indicate in the accept header which one they want. And I think this even if you don't want to go too far in the REST discussion, I think this is something that you probably want run into if you want to do a fairly public API over the web. It's very possible that you will have clients that want to receive XML as well as clients that want to receive JSON. So you might have a single page app in front of this that just is totally implemented in JavaScript that probably wants the JSON representation, but you might also have some other clients in front of it in which it's just easier to get the XML down and use that. All depends on the capabilities of the client. So the verbs. Also, if we want to move up the ladder of REST, we should look at the verbs. So we at least should understand get, post, put, and delete. So if we do a get, we want it to be idempotent. We want it to be repeatable, so that if you just do a get again and again for the same resource, you'll get the same thing back. This is really nice for enabling caching, for instance, in all the hubs between the server and the client. Post, on the other hand, is allowed to be insecure, so to speak. You can do stuff on the server side based on the post, and you're sort of allowed to do it again if you get another post, and that may result in something else. So post could be used for, and here will be used for, creating the orders for a coffee. So if the client reposts the same order, two orders will in fact be created. Now that's sort of just the way it is with post. So put is different. Put overrides an existing resource. So that could be used for updating the order. So you just put in the whole order again and you'll get an updated version. And if you put the same things a couple of times, that won't matter, it'll be the same end result. So put is also something you can repeat. Delete again, well, you can repeat that, but again it does actually something. It deletes on the server side, or at least it logically deletes. You're not obligated to fully delete the data, of course, but if you want to respect the HTTP verbs, it logically deletes. So that's how we cancel the order in this sample. Also, head and options are some pretty nice verbs to support as well. Head is a get that just asks for whatever the get returns, but without the body. That's useful for the client to sort of figure out if it needs to do a full get request and get the body down as well, or if it doesn't need to do that. Options towards a resource will just return which of the other verbs are allowed in this case. Right, and well, there's also patch, which is one of the newer verbs and less used, and well, not something we'll be talking much about today. HTTP obviously have a lot of headers, and we're not going to go into that. It's not an HTTP talk. But a few of the headers that we are going to look a little bit at are the accept headers that we also already looked at, that sort of matches the content type headers, which are in the responses and tells the client which content type was actually returned. Was it JSON? Was it XML? So on and so forth. There are, on the requests, there are the if none match and the e tags. So that can be used to do conditional gets. So if the client already has a cached version of a resource, it can say, okay, I want this resource by doing a conditional get. I want this resource, but only if it doesn't match the one that I already have. Now the one that I already had this special e tag, and I'm going to give that to the server as well, as long with the if none match header. And the server will look at that and say, what's the representation or what's the resource that I have now? If it's the same e tag, I'll assume that it's the same resource and I'll just say not modified to the client. Again, this can speed up the client and save some bandwidth. So again, something that not in order to comply with REST, but just because it's actually efficient and nice, is something that you may or may not want to support in your API. Okay, so let's get to the Nancy part. So that was just a quick rundown of some of the REST concepts. And now we'll take a look at how Nancy can support this and how I think Nancy is a really, really nice framework for building up these things. So why Nancy? Well, Nancy is quote-unquote close to HTTP. It's close to HTTP in the sense that HTTP is very present in the code of a Nancy application, but it's not too close to HTTP in the sense that you're not really dealing with the bits and bytes. In fact, you're pretty high up on a stack consisting of, well, you know, there's a web server and there's a .NET framework, and you may have ASP.NET in there, and then Nancy on top of that, and I have quite a lot of technology there. You're not exactly down to the metal as such, but HTTP is very present, so it's easy to see HTTP in there. So on a conceptual level, it's close, but well, I mean, not really in the sort of getting down to the actual metal level. In my opinion, Nancy can result in some very, very readable code. I think it's a framework that really enables the developer to write some very nice code. Whether I've done that with a sample or not, I'll let you judge, but I think at least the framework allows us to do it. So because Nancy lets us be conceptually close to HTTP, the routing is very, very explicit. And I think that's very, very nice. Nancy also has automatic content negotiation, really nice as well. If you do want to support the situation where the client can request either to get back JSON or to get back XML based on the accept headers, it's nice to have a framework that'll just take care of looking at those headers and serializing the content that you want to return to that client appropriately. The framework is very modular all the way down. If there's something you don't like about the framework, you can just re-implement it, and through the so-called bootstrapper, you can set up Nancy to use your specialized implementation. So again, Nancy has some defaults out of the box. It has some conventions, and I think they generally are nice, but if there's some of them that aren't exactly what you'd like, you can always switch that out. So there's no dead ends here in Nancy. You can always continue down the route that you want to go. Which sort of brings us to the next item. Nancy really embraces inversion of control and dependency injection. It assumes that you want dependency injection and that you have an IOC container, and out of the box, Nancy comes with an IOC container and uses that. Again, really nice for testing and really nice for keeping things decoupled. Nancy really does embrace testing as well. It comes with a companion package, nancy.testing, that makes testing your Nancy applications easy, and again brings some, again, the testing is also sort of close to HTTP on a conceptual level, so it's easy to be pretty explicit about how we want to test these APIs. If time permits, we'll also have a look at some tests for the RESTBox sample. And lastly, and I think Nancy sort of separates the application from the hosting of the application. So a Nancy application can run on a lot of different things. Nancy application can be hosted on an ASP.NET site, which will enable it to run, for instance, on IIS. It can also just run right inside a console application running on a desktop machine, if you want that for something for, I don't know, building it into a old WinForms application. You just want some administrative backend that you can get to, you can do that. It runs on Mono as well, so you can go over and run it on an Ubuntu server if you want that. So it runs, if not anywhere, a lot of places at least. So basic Nancy. So what you really do basically is you organize your routes, and you do that through creating modules. So that's the central part of Nancy. Everything is a module, and to create a module for your application, you inherit from Nancy module, and then in the constructor of your module, you set up the routes that this module should handle. You do that by using a domain-specific language defined by Nancy that you see here. You have the get with a slash, and then a lambda after that that handles the get. And then beneath there we see it's more or less, well, it's almost the same module, that except this time the constructor calls up to the base class and puts a subpath there. So the top one will handle slash, and the bottom one will handle slash subpath slash. And they'll each just handle it by executing the lambdas there after the equal sign. So it's not just get that this works for. It works for other HTTP verbs as well. So this is where I think HTTP becomes really explicit in your Nancy code. So you have a get, you have a post, you have a delete that takes in not just a URI, but a URI template, so that includes an ID, so that you can delete something at that particular ID. You have put and you have patch. And it all follows the same principle of just indicating through the DSL the verb that you want to handle and the URI that you want to handle it at, and then on the right hand side of the equal sign is a lambda that will do the actual handling. Out of the box, Nancy comes with automatic head and options. So if you have a get, you also are able to respond to head. Nancy just handles that. And also if you have something at a given URI, you can also respond to an options request. Nancy just handles that. Very nice. Okay, so getting into how to use Nancy for building up some APIs, we're going to look at the RESTBox sample. So placing an order is done by, it's this user story. I want to place an order with RESTBox so that they can give me a cup of coffee, basically, that can process my order. So let's go look at the code for that. There we go, Visual Studio. And let's go into the Solution Explorer here. And close the test for now. We'll go into our resources, which I'm thinking in resources here. And we have the orders here. We're going to look at the orders handler. Let's just scroll to the top, sorry. So here we have a Nancy module. It's the orders resource handler module, inherits from Nancy module. It handles the slash orders part of our application, and we just want to be able to do a single thing at slash orders plural. We want to be able to handle a post, and in that post we want to be able to take in some form data representing the order, and then we want to create an order for the user. So here we see how Nancy handles model binding. I have defined a order representation here, which is just a simple class that we see here. It's and I have a representation base. That's not an Nancy thing. That's just something that I have in my own application here. So from so Nancy doesn't impose anything on me here. It's just a class that Nancy is allowed to deserialize the form data to. I put on some XML annotations here so that it can .NET can deserialize XML into it, so that it's allowed to get XML posted into it, and it'll be sort of directed by the attributes, obviously. So okay, back here. This is how Nancy binds. So just setting up this this binding just as such. I haven't done anything particular else to it. This allows me to receive either XML or JSON, because that's how that just comes out of the box with Nancy, if Nancy can deserialize to this representation. So if I have a well-formed request, I'll get an order representation, and I'll get that into my post handler here, and I'll just call a method that tries to build an order based on the representation, and that's about putting it into the that's about creating the model object behind there, my domain model object. If that's valid, then I'll continue. If it's not, I will return an invalid order response. That is, if there's some part of my business logic that doesn't validate. That can be whatever. If it is valid, I'll just persist it to my database, and I will respond with a created response. Now look, let's look at how those responses are are built up, because that's sort of an Nancy thing too. So the invalid response is basically done on this line. So here I use a property on the Nancy module base class, which allows me to get access for the little DSL for building up responses. And in this case, it's pretty simple. I just say I want a response that is a bad request response, and I want a reason for why it's bad, and I want to return something in the body as well. So I just basically say, okay, this wasn't valid, and I give some reasons for that. If everything was okay and it was as it should have been, I just want to again go into the responses here, calling up to the property of the base class, accessing the the responses DSL, and I want to say it's a created response. So this will give back a 201 if I recall, created to the user, which is what they'll probably expect on a post of an order. So this sort of implements the, or does implement the functionality of being able to receive an order for the RESTBox store. Okay, moving on. So that was the first user story, really. And what we saw there was how Nancy allows us to define the handling of a post, and how Nancy allows us to manipulate the responses back to the user and set the right status codes. So next part of the RESTBox sample here is that you also want to be able to access that order. So as a customer, I want to be able to cancel my order, for instance. You probably also actually want to be able to view the order and update the order. So let's have a look at that as well. For that, we take a look at the overview here again. We go into the order resource handler. So this is the resource for existing orders, already created orders. And we see here we have a order resource handler. It inherits from the NANSI module. And in the constructor here, we set up the routes that this particular handler should handle. So we want get for this up here, this URI template, order ID, we want post for the same thing, we want delete for the order, and we want post for the payment. Now, do we really want post here? Post, you can see that means that we're updating the order. Well, that sort of depends. You can discuss that. You may want to do put, or you may want to do patch, or you may want to do post. That's one of those discussions that I don't want to get too much into, and I think it's a pragmatic decision. NANSI would allow you to do whatever you want, and you can be as restful as you want there. But you see, so this is an example of a handler that does several things, and it even does two different posts. It's just two different, or it handles two different posts. It's just two different URIs. One is directly to the slash order ID, and one is to the slash order ID slash payment here. And these strings that we see up here, that we use down here, these are URI templates. So NANSI will match against these and try to match the order ID to something. So if we say get slash order ID here, we get in, and it's this lambda over here that will handle the get request for the order. And what we want to do is we want to return the representation of the order there. The parameters here, input for the lambda is a dynamic, and NANSI will very nicely just put the matched order ID, as we see it here in the string, right there in order ID. And it can do so because it's a dynamic. So let's look at the handling of the get here. Just dump down, we're still in the same class here, the same place. So, given that we have a request for an existing order, where the first thing we will do is we'll check in our database if we have an order with that order ID. If we don't, we just want to return a not found. So we'll just say return the status code, and NANSI is able to convert a status code in and of itself into a full response, and that will be a 404 response back to the user. So just indicating you asked for something that I don't have. Fine. Now the order may also be in a status where it's already cancelled. So you might want to go back and look at your order after you cancelled it, or you forgot, or whatever. This is something a client might do. In that case, we will just go up to the property, the response property on the NANSI module, and we'll call the move to, and then we'll just give it a URI, which will build up blah 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 through this, which is just some things in my application here that enables me to set up the link properly based on the path that I have in different parts of the application. The point here is that the NANSI just allows me to do a redirect pretty simply here by just saying response.moveTo informs the client that actually now the cancel order is over here in the trash folder or the trash URI. Also, we wanted to support those conditional gets that we talked about when there was a bit of talk about about REST before. So, if the user or the client, if the client already has a representation of this order and it's not modified yet, we really just want to say not modified, which again is just a status code basically that we return to the client. In a bit, I'll get back to what's inside this is not modified method. Now, down here at the bottom, this is a situation where we actually do want to return the order to the client, but we also want to be able to support clients that want JSON as well as clients that want XML. So we will just say that this is a negotiated response. So we will tell Nancy, again, by accessing a property on the base class, that we'll tell it to negotiate a response with a model object, and then this will just map my order to a order representation. So this is still just a .NET object that I give up to the with model, and then I have and then I'll put on some cache headers as well, which play together with the is modified. So and you can just sort of go on here. I could have dot some more headers or dot something else that I wanted to do with the response. But Nancy will still do the negotiation, and then Nancy will, based on the accept headers given by the client, decide how to serialize the model object that I give here in the with model. Let's have a look at this with cache headers method. So that's just that's an extension method on negotiator. So negotiator is a Nancy type. I'm just doing a bit of extra stuff here, and this extra stuff is that I'm really just calling back into Nancy here. So Nancy out of the box comes with this with headers that you can use on the negotiator. So you can just sort of pluck whatever headers you want on here on your response, which is really nice. And specifically the two things I want is I want to control the e-tag header, and I want to control the cache control header. So I want to allow my clients to cache based on that, and I want to allow my clients to do the conditional gets. So getting back to those conditional gets, I also had this is not modified. So this is an extension method on the request. So looking at the request that came in, you see it's an extension method on the Nancy request. So that represents the entire request that came in, the whole get request. I'm just going to see, okay, in the request, are there any if none match headers? If not, well, I'll just return false from this, and which means that I'll treat it as if the resource has been modified. But if there was an unmatched header, I will pull the e-tag out of it, and I will compare it to the e-tag of the current version of the content. Don't put too much store in the exact implementation of this. This is a simple implementation. I think you could probably you could do better code than I have there. Here it could be it could be healthier, definitely. But my point mainly is that using just the style of how Nancy does thing, using these extension methods, you can get something that's really nice to use over here in the handler part, and then you can just say, okay, it's a not modified response, and that's it. So this allows me to, I'd say, pretty easily react to the get in a way that respects the accept headers, that respects the conditional gets as well. So that's pretty nice. You can get it back in different representations, and you don't have to get it back if you have a proper version of it already. Let's just also have a quick look at the delete here. So you just want to delete something, of course, when you ask a delete, and well, it means I want to cancel my order. So again, based on the parameters for the request here, I pull out the order ID from the dynamic from Nancy here, throw that into my cancel method, and here we go. I try to see if I have the order in my database. If not, well, it's just not found. If it was, I will cancel the order, calling into my domain logic, doing whatever I need to do, and then I'll just return a status code of no content. So if it's deleted and everything was fine, well, that's just no content, and that's it. So we see here we have a situation where, because the return type of the method here is a Nancy response, I can just return the status code here, and Nancy will take care of converting that into a full response. Okay, so now we're able to handle story number two of canceling the order. The third user story was that I also wanted to be able to pay my order. So that was the sub resource on the order that we had there at the payment path. So if you do a post to the payment path, you will hit this handler, and it's really the same story as we saw. As we saw before, you just pull the order ID out of the pay, and you pull the representation out of the request body. And well, I should have fixed this before, and I'm really sorry. This should be a list.bound as we had up here. You should be able to just bind again to the representation and deserialize like that. That's actually sort of a bug I have here. So I hope you'll bear with me, even though there's a bug here. You should be able to just bind to the body, and then I call the pay method that will just mark that and call into my domain logic. It's really not that interesting. So that really fulfills the three user stories I had in a pretty simple way, in a way that I think brings the HTTP part pretty much to the forefront. There's the way that you set up the routes with the GET, POST, and so on, and also the way that you can indicate the headers and the status codes pretty directly. And we also saw how Nancy makes it really easy to get a constant negotiated response. So digging a little bit further into that, with the negotiated responses. So the negotiated responses was triggered by this, and really it was triggered by saying negotiate and then giving with model and given an object, and then we just ask Nancy to do the negotiation for us. Nancy out of the box is able to handle a few things, XML and JSON, and I think actually that will probably get us in many, many cases, that will be enough. That will be the representations that we want to support. But if we do want to support more representations than that, then again, Nancy makes it really easy to do so. We just have to implement a so-called response processor, which is what we have here. So this is a Nancy interface, and the iResponse processor. Which is pretty simple. That just the interface here just tells us that we have to implement the can. Yeah, there we go. We jumped into the interface. So the interface, the central part here really is can process and process. So the processor here is something that is meant to work with the content negotiation, such that if you want to be able to serialize your responses to something other than the XML and the JSON, YAML in the example I created over there in the other file, this should be something that can do that serialization. But it also needs to be something that Nancy can ask, can you process that? And it will do so based on the media types represented as media ranges, as the media types that the client is requesting. So that's the accept headers basically that the client has in its requests. And if your processor says that it can that it is able to handle that media type, it will be allowed so if it's the best match. Doing so is done by calling the processor. Okay, so that's really not too difficult to do. So here's just a couple of ifs that says, okay, if this is either a wildcard or something that starts with application slash, and if it has YAML in the second part of the type. So this is things like application slash YAML or application slash restbox dot sorry, vnd.resboxplusyaml. So these ifs will just match those sorts of things. Basically, anything that ends with YAML, we'll say, yeah, we can match that. And we'll just say that it's an exact match and that we don't care about the model object. It's just if the client wants something in YAML, we can match that. And then we process it down here. We do that by just calling back into our serializer that we have up here. We have a YAML serializer, and we just sort of serialize using that. And that's just based on the YAML serializer open source project. So the details of this implementation really isn't that important. It's just that there are only a few methods that you need to implement in order to do your own processor here, and then that's enough to hook into Nancy's content negotiation support. Nancy will, if this class is even just in your assembly, Nancy will discover it based on the fact that it implements the proper response, and then Nancy will use it. So it's really easy to throw in some extra types of serialization that you want to support, and then have Nancy use it. It doesn't show up in the code over here in the handler. It's still just It's still just to negotiate, and then your special representation will also be included. Conditional gets, we already talked about that, so I'll just skip ahead. Okay, as I said, also, Nancy has a neat concept of how hosting is done. So up on the top, you have your own application, your Nancy application in at the top there. And then you have Nancy the framework, and below that you have some Nancy hosting. Now, Nancy hosting can be a number of things. And the way you choose which one you want is literally just installing a NuGet packet. And the NuGet packages that you install is either ASP.NET, it's VCF, it's self-hosting, it's OWN. And then you can just run on top of each of these. So a typical scenario, I guess, is running on top of ASP.NET, and that you can do that, and you can run anywhere that ASP.NET can run. You can run your Nancy thing. And all you have to do to choose that is really to just install the NuGet. But also, I think actually the self-hosting is very compelling. So with self-hosting, you can just have your Nancy application hosted inside a console application, a WinForms application, a VPF application, whatever you want, or Windows service. So that gives you, I think, some more flexibility in where you deploy these Nancy sites to. And I guess for like smaller APIs, this could be really, really useful. Okay, so I guess we do have some time for looking a bit at the tests. So as we saw, when you implement a module in your Nancy application, you do so by inheriting from the Nancy module. So on the surface of things, that looks like something that's not too good for testing, because now you're depending on a type. You're not just a pure plain old CLR object anymore. You're something that comes from this special type, whatever. But not to worry, Nancy comes with some nice support for testing as well. So if we have a look at the Resbox tests here, let's maybe look at when the user gets menu. And we haven't looked at the implementation of this resource, but I hope we'll be able to read the tests anyway. I think we should be able to read the tests anyway. So let's take a look at that. So we want to say when the user gets menu, a status code of 200 OK is returned. So we will just create a proxy for our application here, and then we will assert that if we do get to this particular URI, the status code of the response is equal to OK. That's pretty forward. Now what's going on here? What's going on is, if we jump into this create proxy, that we're using the Nancy testing support to create the special nancy.testing.browser object. Now this is something that will sort of that will represent a client in your tests here. So it's called browser. Yeah, you can think of it as a browser, but it's really a testing client. And then you can set this up. You could just give it your default bootstrapper from your Nancy application, which will run with all your real dependencies that would hit the database and whatever dependencies you have. But you could also use this configurable bootstrapper, which is something, again, that Nancy testing gives me. So I want a specialized bootstrapper for my testing here. I want to run with a dependency where my repository for products is a mocked one, and also my repository for orders is a mocked one. So I can just mock my database layer out here. And this is what I do. So what we see over here in the test is that I create such a browser object, but with the whole database layer mocked out. Then I do a get, and this hits this sort of virtual client, the browser object, and this will do a request that from Nancy looks like a full request. It just doesn't go through a hosting layer. So we saw that Nancy was was separated from the actual hosting layer, and this is really good in this right here, because we don't have to go through the whole web server to do this test. We don't have to do the I/O of doing that. We just call into this virtual client, which calls into Nancy, and for all that Nancy knows, this is a real request coming in from a real host, but in fact it's just coming in from our tests. And as I said, we also mocked out the database, so this is not exactly a unit test, but it's a test that doesn't have I/O, that doesn't have external dependencies that it runs through. Then what we get out here after the request is the response that we returned from the handler in there. And we can do a number of things on that response if we look here at the IntelliSense. So we can get access to the body in there, and we can do assertions and what's inside the body. We can look at the headers that was returned along with the response. So here we can do testing against whether we have the right content type set and so on and so forth, and we can look at the status code to see if it's okay in this particular case, and in other cases we might want to be able to check that it's a not modified and so on and so forth. Actually, if we look at the next one here, we have contains all products. We want to test that. But we can also see that here we do a little bit more setup of the get request. We run on the same browser object as we saw before. We do a get, it's through the same URI, but we do a bit more of setup. Specifically, we set up that, well, we want an accept header. We want an accept header of application XML, which enables us to take the response here. So the get gives us the res, and then we just take the res and say body as XML. So we take the body of this response and then deserialize it into an XML object that we then afterwards use to assert against and check that all the products are in there. Very nice again, and we see we leverage the Nancy testing support by setting up a few extra headers for our request here that we actually also check over in the handler code. So very nice testing support. So here you can take advantage of the IOC and dependency injection by mocking out, and as we did, mock out the data layer, or you can decide not to. You can run system tests here, run on your full scale the bootstrapper with all the real dependencies that you want, and then you can just run against that, and you're still not running through the I/O overhead of running through the entire web server. So this provides a very nice way of doing just below the surface tests, which in my experience is a really good place to start. Yeah, so we looked at the tests. So returning to sort of the original question, and this is where I start wrapping the talk up. So why NANC? Well, I claimed that it was quote-unquote close to HTTP. I think we've seen examples of that. HTTP is very explicit in that you're very explicit about which verbs you want to handle for which URIs. It's pretty explicit which responses you want to give and how those headers look and how those status codes look. I think it's really nice if you're doing an API. I think this can result in some very, very readable code. I hope we've seen some examples of that. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. The routing, as I said, very explicit. We've seen that. The automatic content negotiation is a really nice feature. You just say negotiate, and that's it. You get a negotiated response. You return some data. NANC takes care of the rest from there. NANC embraces modularity. So we haven't really seen an example of changing anything within NANC, but we have seen a very, very quick example of adding something to NANC. We added the YAML processor that was able to serialize my content to YAML, and that NANC just automatically picks up and includes it in its content negotiation. It embraces dependency injection. So we didn't specifically mention that, but in the handlers we saw we got all the dependencies in through arguments to the constructor. So we use constructor injection here for all our dependencies, which we leveraged in the tests to throw in some mocked out versions. It embraces testing, as we just saw, makes it really easy to do some really advanced testing and some very nice testing. And because NANC separates the hosting from the actual application, it also is very strong in the sense that it can run all over the place. Also, so here is sort of an opinion slide, I'd say. So I claim that this is a lightweight approach. I think it is. I think we've seen something that, considering what this actually does, is pretty low ceremony. It doesn't have too much cruft. It uses some conventions to set things up. It's based on an open source framework, namely NANC, with a very open community as well. And I think it's a quick and agile framework to build upon. And also, I think actually REST, or at least web-based, pragmatically web-based APIs can also give you these sorts of conveniences. It can be pretty open. It's easy for clients to understand. They can, without too much ceremony, use your API. For more information on the things I've talked about, you can see the whole sample on the GitHub link there into my GitHub. For more, much more on REST, read the REST in Practice book. It's really good. Also, definitely go to nancyfx.org and see lots more about NANC. It's a great framework. I really recommend it. And there's some contact information for me there. And that's pretty much it. I'll see if there are questions. You can put questions through the live meeting thing here. But I'll also be on Jabber after the talk. I'm not on Jabber right now, but I will after. So let me just check if there are questions. So there's a question here. How does this proxy example differ from the decorator pattern? I am not sure I understand the question, to be honest. So I don't know. This is going to be the answer here for now. You can maybe type a longer question if you want. Okay, so next question here. NANC versus Web API, why use one over the other? Well, I guess to a large extent it comes down to taste. I really like the code that Nancy allows me to write. I like the DSL that Nancy has defined. So that's one big thing. And I guess another thing is, I guess for this you can also do websites in full website in Nancy, as you can with ASP.NET MVC, of course. But well, to be honest, I think it's in a more unified way that you do it in Nancy. So doing a website and doing an API like this, that looks pretty much the same in both of them. So it's a matter of style, I say. It's a matter of unifying the approaches. Next question. So will you share this example application? Yes, and the link is over on the slides to the GitHub where it is. Does Nancy have anything like ASP.NET request validation to mitigate security threats? I am going to pass on that one. There is also a good Google group, a Google user group for Nancy. You can find that through the nancyfx.org, where Andreas Håkansson and Steve Robinson, who mostly built Nancy, are both very active. I'm sure one of them will be able to answer a question like that. But I think I'll pass right now. So, any more questions? Okay, thank you very much for attending.